Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Christopher Walken, and I listen to this show daily.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Arifon Elijah. I'm your host. I'm here with Buster Hine. Hey, Buster.
Oh, hey, dude.
And we're back. Alex Heath is back from his long vacation. Welcome back.
It's good to be back. Wait, where'd Christopher Walken go?
Oh, man.
He left. I guess he's shooting a movie.
He's a movie star.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction 2, coming to theaters in 2015. Yeah,
Pulp Fiction Dos. And I'm really looking forward to that movie because he's a fine actor.
Pulp Fiction Recharge. Or no, Pulp Fiction Re-Squeezed.
And I just got to say, I'm honored. You know, I heard that Hulk Hogan was a big fan of the show.
Oh, yeah. I think he might actually be doing something for us later.
Yeah, I heard that same thing. He wanted to help us with one of our segments. But I'm honored that Christopher Walken is such a dedicated fan.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, he said he's the host. That's not really true. I'm the host.
Yeah, well, he's Christopher Walken.
He can say whatever he wants. And in all honesty, if he wanted to be the host, he probably could be.
Our ratings would go up.
Yeah, our ratings would probably go up a lot.
Mm.
We have a great show planned for you guys this week. It's fun, you know, because normally we get to talk about a lot of news items. And there really hasn't been a ton of news stuff to talk about. So we have some other stuff planned that will be fun to talk about. And I just want to mention, I want to thank Hover for sponsoring our show. Hover, in all honesty, no joke, is my favorite place to buy domains on the internet.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's fantastic. It's awesome. And so I'm really happy that they're sponsoring the show because I love talking about services and products that I actually like and use. So we're going to talk a little bit more about them later on. But Alex, you were in Jamaica, man.
Jamaica, man. What's your man going?
And you were gone for like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. Well, almost 2 weeks, but I was off the grid for about 3 weeks, so to speak.
Wow.
But
I saw a lot of your Instagram photos,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I was Instagramming like a fool.
Very off the grid to me.
Well, my off the grid is probably not the normal off the
grid. By off the grid, you're not on your Mac?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't bring my MacBook Pro.
Yeah, no, okay.
I didn't bring my iPad either. It's just my iPhone. And I actually left it in airplane mode, so I only used it when there was Wi-Fi, which was kind of, you know, sparse.
Well, isn't it kind of expensive to use data?
It can be unless you get a plan, but data is expensive anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So how was it? I mean,
it was great.
What was the highlight? What was the best thing that you did while you were there? Besides, you must have jumped off a cliff into some water, I would imagine.
If you didn't, I'm disappointed.
we didn't meet directly, but there was word there of a 103-year-old Rastafarian who has a 3-year-old child.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you call shenanigans on him?
No, he's got dreads down to his ankles. And
there's no way he's potent still.
No, I'm telling you. Well, he has multiple wives.
They eat a lot of sweet potatoes and yams over there. I hear how those have medicinal properties, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, they have. Yeah, yeah. They have a lot of fruit there. That's interesting, to say the least.
He's eating a lot of berries. Lots
I would say
berries.
the biggest highlight for me was the fact that the moths were the size of bats.
What?
Yeah, no, really. Their insects there are gigantic.
Do they have mosquitoes there too?
No, there are no mosquitoes. But like the moths were literally the size of giant bats. And like if you hit one, it was like red blood everywhere.
I got all angry.
Oh, yeah, it was disgusting. Seriously, beautiful island, beautiful weather. Rained a little bit, but spent a lot of time up in the mountains. Got to go to the beach a little bit.
They have mountains in Jamaica?
Oh, man, it's gorgeous.
Come on.
Dude, the island is incredible. It's got literally every climate except snow. I mean, it's great.
Wow.
Wait,
there's no snow in Jamaica?
No, man, there's
not.
I'm going
to have to cancel my snowboarding trip.
We ain't in Seattle anymore.
Yeah. Well, we don't have snow here, but we definitely have had better weather than the rest of the U.S. Did you guys see that map I posted on Twitter?
I don't follow you on
Twitter. Oh, you don't? Well, you're probably smart. We've been having a heat wave here in the U.S., and all my friends all over have been complaining about how hot it is everywhere. But in Seattle, it's been a balmy 65 degrees.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Yeah.
Oh,
that's like when I was in San Francisco last week. It was like, 65, and you had to wear a hoodie. It was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it's literally 101 degrees outside right now, 80% humidity.
You're still in your white suit, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're so classy.
AFC.
Well, hey, good one. We're glad to have you back, and I'm glad to have you back on the show. Buster, you recently had a little trip recently, too, right, where you dove into a river and found a hidden treasure?
You know it. That's my life.
Yeah. So tell us what happened exactly in the treasure that you found.
Oh, man. Okay, so I live in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar, it's a desert climate. No,
it is very warm there.
And we don't have like a beach or like really cool places to go swimming and cool down. So a lot of people, they go to this river called the Salt River.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they have like buses that go up there and shuttle people and everything. It's, a pretty big thing. But people mostly, they just get drunk at the Salt River and they float down it on tubes and stuff.
That sounds great.
It's a good time. However you want to spend your time at the river, it's good. It's just a really nasty, dirty river.
Oh, it's not clean. Oh, okay.
So, but me and my friends, when we go to the Salt River, we take like our diving gear, like snorkels and goggles and everything, and we try and find all the stuff that people lose on the bottom. And most of the time, like, there's tons of just beer cans all on the bottom of the river.
That's so nasty. I hate it when people litter when they're drunk. Oh, it's the worst.
But anyway, so we were there, and my friend David, he was a collegiate swimmer. So he'll go down, and he can be at the bottom swimming around for like 2 minutes and find all kinds of crap. And we were swimming around, I think it was like a Thursday or a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And, we saw this shiny object and,
it's like that scene from Lord of the Rings, right?
Really like Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Exactly. Both of us saw it. He was just like, I'm going down for it.
Uh-huh.
He went down, pulls it up, and it's an iPhone 4 and like two Ziploc bags.
Oh, it was in Ziploc bags.
Yeah, it was in two Ziploc
bags. Oh, wow. Because you told me you found it and it was still working. And I was like, you found a freaking iPhone at the bottom of a river in salt and it still works?
Well, it still works. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it was double bagged.
He double bagged it. Smart man. Yeah. And of course, you had to murder him because you needed it.
Well, you know what? Dave really needed a new iPhone. He's been using like this this iPhone 3G that he bought used.
Whoa.
It's on its last leg. Like, nothing works on it as far as the physical buttons go.
Yeah.
So it's like perfect because, like, literally for the last, couple of weeks, he's been talking about, man, I don't know if I can wait for the iPhone 5. I might just have to go out and buy an iPhone 4S. And then he found this little gem in the bottom of the river.
That's amazing. It's
like too. It was awesome.
Now, you have not been using your iPhone because I've been trying to iMessage you, and I was really confused because I don't know if you guys were using iMessage for Mac. Were either of you using it?
Sometimes.
Okay.
No, I don't keep it on because I don't want all of my messages to go to my Mac.
Well, they should go to both places, but
I tried it, but it's a pain to try to manage where it all goes. Like, you get a message and it goes to every device.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, in any case, Apple has deactivated it, so I cannot use it on my Mac any longer. If I try to send you guys messages, it just goes nowhere. Yeah. But I've been trying to send you messages on your phone, Buster, and obviously I couldn't because you have been reviewing an Android phone, right?
Yeah, well, I've always been really curious about Android phones, mm-hmm. and just, how good they are,
right,
or how crappy they are.
Right.
And I've had some review units and just never really taken a lot of time to dive into them. And actually, when we had Joe Brown on the Coltcast and we were talking to him on the show and then afterwards, and we were talking about, that one point where we all just really like to get into tech and just find new stuff that other people aren't doing.
Right.
I don't know. I guess that really hit a chord with me, and I decided, I'm just going to go try different phones, like as my main phone.
Mm-hmm.
until the next iPhone comes out. So that's my goal.
Oh, you're not going to switch back to your iPhone soon?
No, I'm going to try and keep on an Android or Windows 7 phone.
That means I got to use text messages for you.
It's the same thing.
They're not free.
And they're not blue.
And they're not blue, which is my favorite color.
It's funny because, you know, all of my friends that have iPhones as well and have, you know, send iMessages, they see the same thing. They're like, oh, my text messages aren't blue to Buster anymore. And they also get like kind of mad about it, you know?
Well, I'm not mad.
Like annoyed. Like, oh, you don't have an iPhone anymore?
I'm annoyed. I'm just disappointed in you.
Well,
I'm annoyed.
Alex is annoyed for sure. Listen to him.
Well, I was texting you and I saw the green today.
Yeah.
And I was like, the traitor? Get out of my face.
Well, I only have 200 text messages a month. So, what? I mean, at a certain point, those run out. But actually, I don't even know if I'm getting anywhere close to that. So you might be my one friend who I now have to text message. What's that?
How do you have a limited text message plan? I thought they were free.
The text message plans?
Yeah, don't they come with your data?
Oh, no way. Not with AT&T. AT&T gives you the ultimate screw job. You have to buy an unlimited plan from them, or you have to pay per text message.
Oh, well,
I have a $5 a month plan, which includes 200 text messages, and the only reason I have that is because I'm grandfathered in.
Yeah.
So what do you have?
I'm grandfathered into the unlimited data, and with that unlimited data comes unlimited text messaging.
What?
Yeah.
Who are you with?
AT&T.
Do they ever have a combo plan like that?
Yeah, look it up. It's in the Geneva Convention.
Whoa. Do you have unlimited text, Alex?
Yeah.
But do you pay for it?
I don't know.
I forgot. I don't think you do.
You're like, I don't know. My mom pays my cell phone bill. Mama,
what do I have?
She's like right there. What do I got, mama?
Mom, come here.
Don't you mind it.
Go get me some chicken.
Well, that's good for you, bad for me.
Well,
wait a second. So now that you've switched phones, is it still unlimited?
Yeah, it's still my AT&T plan.
Oh, nice. And they didn't make you switch even though you switched phones?
No, you just swap out your SIM.
Oh, cool. So I'm really interested to hear your opinion because I mean, I've used Android phones, but I haven't lived with one on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, some people really love Android phones. So as an iPhone user and as an Apple writer, what is your opinion of the Android phone you're using? First of all, what version of Android is it running? Do you know?
It's running Ice Cream Sandwich. It's the Galaxy Nexus.
Okay.
Samsung sent it to me. And so I should be getting Jelly Bean pretty soon.
That's what I hear.
I can get Jelly Beans at Kroger.
I feel like yet. Because it's kind of like, you know, you just bought a new house and you're moving in. You're still trying to get stuff settled until, you know, get the dressers where you want them and everything.
Mm-hmm. You're so flipping the mattress around.
Yeah. I don't feel settled into the Android operating system yet.
Okay.
But I will tell you one thing that, like, I've discovered so far that just really annoys the crap out of me. So, you know, on, like, the iPhone, when you're texting and, you know, you have, like, the list of all of your text conversations, it's just, you know, the person's name, right?
Right.
Okay, so on Android, they have, you know, the person's name, but there's also an avatar to the left of it. Mm-hmm. And by default, everybody's avatar is just a blank screen. So you have, you know, if you have, like, 20 text message conversations going on, you have 20 avatars that are all the same. And it's just like all this wasted space.
And probably no one actually sets their avatar, right?
Well, that's the thing that is annoying because Google wants to push Google Plus instead of Facebook or Twitter integration. Mm-hmm. So they don't integrate it with Facebook or Twitter to where you can just have their profile picture change or their avatar change a picture.
Yeah.
So you have to go in and set it manually for everybody.
Which I'm sure, I mean, no one ever does.
Well, I started to, like, probably my fourth day using it.
Yeah.
And I got, like, 15 pictures in there of the conversations that I had. But then it's like, you know, you keep having new text conversations with different people you don't talk to all the time.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, you know, little things like that are kind of annoying so far.
Okay. Well, we look forward to your full review once you've had a chance to play with it more. Does it work or sync at all with your Mac in any way?
I think you can use their little Google Music Store thing, but I don't. I think it's all wireless.
Okay.
You don't manage it from your PC.
Okay. Well, I'm interested to hear what you think because, like I said, you know, the only time I ever hear from anyone about Android, I mean, are people who are in the Android universe, right? Like they don't really use an iPhone all that much. Well, so I'm really interested to hear an Apple person's opinion.
Well, and that's the thing is, well, I feel like it goes both ways. As you hear, you know, the Android camp saying, oh, you know, Android's so much better than iOS. And then you have, you know, the Apple fans who will say, oh, Android's such a piece of crap. It sucks, blah, blah, blah. And it's like neither party really uses the other one as much as the other. And so that's I just really want to try and dig deep into that, see which one I really like better.
Dig deep. I like that.
He wants to dig deep.
Whoa, Christopher Walken's back.
Whoa, you guys want to dig deep with me? Christopher?
He's still on the line. I thought he hung up.
Let's dig deep together.
I'm not sure why that arouses me, but it does.
That's odd.
Hey, Alex, are you still there?
Yes, well, I'm back.
Oh, okay, yes. Cool. I wanted to ask you about the thing going on with the App Store. I know you've been covering it, and basically, from what you've described, Apple is delivering corrupted apps to people when they download them. Is that right?
Yeah, this is something really recent in the past, day or so. So,
if you listen to the show,
break it down. Well, if you listen to the show right when it comes out, hopefully it'll be fixed. Probably not, but basically, Marco Arment, who makes Instapaper, noticed this on July 4th that there are these. He submitted an update for Instapaper, and all of a sudden, after everybody downloaded it, it started making the app crash. Like every time you open the app, it would just crash.
Huh.
And he didn't know what was going on. And it turns out that Apple is serving a bunch of corrupt App Store binaries for new updates. So like if apps have been updated recently, Apple is serving these corrupt binaries and nobody really knows why. And it's affecting a lot of apps, like even apps like Angry Birds, Face Juggler, one of my favorites, stuff like
face
that.
Face Juggler? You like that app, Alex?
You haven't lived until you face juggle. a lot of high-profile apps are being affected by this, and basically what's happening is a lot of people are downloading updates going, wow, this developer is awful. They've corrupted my app and leaving...
reviews,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a bunch of one-star reviews. So a bunch of apps are getting demoted for no reason. And so Apple actually... some breaking news right before we started the show, Apple, you know, said that it was aware of the issue and it's working to fix it. It's all on Apple's end. It has something to do with their Fair Play DRM. So they're going to hopefully get it ironed out quickly. So basically, just for everyone, this means that if one of your favorite apps is all of a sudden not working and crashing, it's not the developer's fault, it's Apple's, and hopefully it will be fixed by a new update in the coming day, you know.
Okay, good to know. Days. So don't get mad.
Yeah, don't get mad.
Don't get mad. And get glad. Leave your favorite app a one-star review, because I know it's tempting, right? When you're getting pissed, your app's crashing, and you get all up in arms, and you're like, I'm gonna go leave a one-star review. I hate this app.
It's like it's like people that get Tweetbot for iPhone and go leave a one-star review because it's not on the Mac. Be like, I download on iPhone. The app is great, but not on Mac. One star.
It's like those people who are using Amazon and they leave a one-star review for a product because Amazon shipped it late.
Yeah.
Hello.
People are stupid.
Don't do that. That's not cool. Not cool. All right. So either don't update your apps, or hopefully Apple will have an update for this sometime soon. And your app problems will all be fixed, okay? So just chill.
Okay.
Chill, guys.
I'm chilling out.
Hey, I want to talk about some rumors.
Juicy rumors.
Some juicy. These actually are juicy rumors.
Need a sound
they're
for this.
They're titillating, I think.
Juicy rumors.
We should play. That should be a new segment that we do.
Yeah, and then have a little jingle at the end and be like,
rumors. And we're gonna have to record your voice for that, so that we can put that in there. So, two main ones. The first one being the iPad Mini. Wow, We've been talking about this for a long time, haven't we? Months and months and months. But the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the iPad Mini is coming. That's that's pretty big, isn't it? I mean, the Wall Street Journal gets a lot of this stuff right. Am I wrong?
Well, here's how it goes, right? This is for every real major Apple product rumor cycle thing. It starts with an Apple rumor blog or something, a site like Cult of Mac, saying, you know, we've heard that something's happening. Not a lot of concrete evidence, but it gets the ball rolling. And then a couple months go by, a bunch of sites have picked up and said, yeah, this is probably right. A bunch of pundits write their punditry and it all makes sense. And then about a month before it's, you know, or, you know, in this case, a little farther out, three major news outlets come in and say, yes, this is coming, or no, this isn't coming. And it's usually in this order. It's usually Bloomberg, which has happened for the iPad Mini, then Wall Street Journal, which has happened, and Reuters. And we haven't heard from Reuters yet on the iPad Mini, but I'm sure it's coming. Whenever a site like Bloomberg or Wall Street Journal says that something is coming, you know, this just happened with the Retina MacBook Pro, right? So we had all the rumors that it was coming, and then Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, and Reuters all said, yep, it's coming. And sure enough, you know, they were right. And they have, those three sites have very reliable track records.
They do, yeah. Yeah. So now, hey, I just want to say, Buster, do you remember when we did a yay or nay segment, I don't know, 2 months ago, and you and Leander scorned me for saying I thought this was going to happen.
No, we didn't scorn you.
You made fun of me.
I don't think they'll call it the iPad.
You really hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry. I hurt your feelings. Irfan, that happens a lot, though. I talk a lot of shit.
That's true. You do. Especially when you're playing b-ball with the kids.
You know it.
So let's talk about what this iPad Mini is actually supposed to be. I think we probably have brought it up on the show before. We're going to get a 7.85-inch screen. The price is estimated to be between $250 and $300. My guess is it's going to be $300. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
Because they already have a $399 iPad 2, right? So yeah. $100 off makes sense to me. Yeah. Alex, okay. Alex Heath, what do you think? You're doubtful.
No, this is just an odd thing for me because of the iPod Touch and just the pricing is just. I mean, I really don't think they'll call it an iPad. Like, would they use the iPad branding? You know, what has been established as the staple tablet, the Mercedes tablet? Are they gonna call that
Mercedes tablet?
Are they gonna call that at a $200 price point? They're gonna add a little mini at the I don't believe they're gonna do that. I think it'll have some type of different name,
different moniker. So it's gonna be the iPad Touch Extreme or the iPod Touch Extreme.
Can we get a TM on that?
Yeah. The iPod, and then your email signature will say sent from the iPod from Touch Extreme
iPad
Edition.
With Crossfire technology.
Yeah, with touch sensitive technology powered by any Steve network. Jobs. Powered by the spirit of Steve Jobs.
No, but I don't know. I the one thing about this rumor that I really don't get, although I get it but I don't, is them using the same screen that's on the 3GS, so not using the Retina screen. Because basically the way that these screens are made is they're cut from large sheets. So these large sheets of glass of display are made, and then over at Foxconn, they just cut them for different dimensions, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's basically, I guess, would use their 3GS, what they have left, or I guess make more, obviously, because they're probably going to sell a lot, but of their 3GS sheets instead of the Retina sheets and just cut for the smaller screen. And I guess they can do that feasibly, but I just don't see them doing that. Why they're going to introduce a product and say it has, you know, double the worst screen of what we just, you know, announced earlier this year and somehow make it sound good? I mean, I guess if any company can do that, Apple can.
I just don't.
How are you going to backtrack on your technology like that, even for the price?
Yeah, that's a pretty old technology too. But I
and
mean,
it looks terrible. Nobody
doesn't look great.
Nobody's going to look at their Retina Mac and their Retina iPhone and then get a little, you know, non-Retina iPad Mini. It's going to look like crap.
Yeah, but you know, at $300, it's not going to be the iPad for sure, right? I mean.
I mean, I don't know.
But Buster, you were saying that if they did release a smaller one, you would ditch your iPad in favor of that.
Yeah, well, because personally, I don't play a lot of games on my iPad, and I don't do much creation, and those are things that are really nice to have a bigger display on for an iPad. I really just do a lot of reading on my iPad mostly, and looking at pictures. And so a smaller screen is just fine for that, actually kind of a little bit better because it makes it even more portable. So that type of form factor, I think, would be really awesome for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it either. I mean, I would probably buy one. I don't think I would replace my current iPad with it because I think that would be a pretty big downgrade, personally. But a smaller form factor would be amazing. I mean, especially for reading on aeroplanes.
See, I read on my iPad all the time, and I think it's fine.
Well, I do too. I mean, honestly, I think reading on an iPad would be a better experience, especially because it has a Retina. Well, the new ones have a Retina display screen, so it'd be easier to read on a new iPad. But, you know, if Apple, I honestly think if Apple released a smaller iPad for $250, $300, oh my gosh, they are going to make trillions.
It sucks the oxygen out of the market. Like, anybody that's left is like, oh dang.
Because their ecosystem for apps and music and video is, in my opinion, the best. I mean, it's not perfect, but it is easy to use. You already know how to use it. It's going to be, you know, it's going to integrate easily with your Apple TV, with your other Apple devices and hardware. It would just be a no-brainer. It's like you just plug it in and it just works. Oh, you like how I did that? No, not so much. Okay, well, let's move on. let's talk about IMAX, the venerable Digitimes. Is reporting that we're going to get new Retina display IMAX in October. True or false, Buster?
I would really love them to do that because I've been on this podcast the whole time. I've been needing a new IMAX.
Yeah, so. You've been talking about them for a while.
Alex. Yeah, I'm saying yes because I want it.
I really don't see how a Retina IMAX is going to be cost effective coming out this year. But do you see Apple doing an event where they go, okay, here's the new iPhone, here's the iPad mini, and here's new Macs all in one event? That's a lot for 1 month. That's a whole lot for 1 month. And, you know, if they're going to focus on their desktop, their premier desktop lineup, I think that's its own event. So are they going to do two events in October? You know, that's kind of not normal. So I don't know. I think definitely new iMacs are coming. They have to be coming. It's been a long time. Probably by the end of this year. I'm not sure about October. And it's Digitimes, so you just have to take it with a grain of salt. I wouldn't be surprised if it was early, you know, 2013. You know, Apple did say something interesting right after the new Mac Pro came out that doesn't have anything really new in it, but they're calling it new. Apple issued a statement to somebody saying that, you know, we have new iMacs and Mac Pros, all new ones coming in 2013. And that statement was revised about 24 hours later to say that only new Mac Pros are coming in 2013.
Yeah, so that was a really interesting thing.
It was really interesting, and I do think that points to new iMacs this year because they amended it to where they didn't say iMacs and Mac Pros. So, and I don't think they would wait 2 years to update the iMac. I think it's coming this year, October. I don't know.
You know, your first point is one that I keep thinking about. I'm like, gosh, you know, a 27-inch Retina display just seems outrageously expensive for them to produce, and that's really what kind of makes me think that we're not going to see one anytime soon. I mean, look at the 15-inch MacBook Pro, the new ones. I mean, I think they were struggling to get that thing out. I know Nontech wrote a piece about how they were pushing the hardware to its limits. They were using it in ways it wasn't even designed to be used, just to drive all the pixels for that size display. And now you're talking about one that's almost twice the size.
And you know, to do a 27-inch like Retina Cinema display or Thunderbolt display. The Thunderbolt I/O is literally not technically capable of transmitting that much data. So you would actually have to do Thunderbolt 2.0 to be able to make that work. So if they were going to do something on a 27-inch iMac where they did Retina, not only would it be expensive, but they'd have to completely redo Thunderbolt.
Wow. So there you go. I mean, I think we eventually are going to see it. There's no doubt. But I do think it's going to be longer than what Digitimes is saying, because I just don't think we're there yet technology-wise. And if we were, the costs, I think, would be prohibitively expensive. And then, as everyone knows, I have a perfect track record when giving Apple estimates on what's going to happen.
You probably have the best track record of anybody I know, I think. Yeah. Especially with that MacBook Pro Air title that you had. That was the best.
Yeah, we basically got it.
Yeah.
The only thing we didn't get was the secondary hard drive, which I later amended to say I didn't think we were going to get.
And all of the extra ports and slots that you wanted on there.
Well, like, it was pipe dream. We're all allowed to dream. But I was like 99.9% right on that one. I mean, Gene Munster called me.
Did he? He said, how did you get
this? He just said, how? How? He just kept repeating it.
That one
was like, I was like, who is this? And I looked at the caller ID and it was like Gene Munster.
And how did you do it?
Yeah. Whoa, Chris is back. Chris, are you excited? Well, you know, I was on Bloomberg with Gene Munster once. We're basically BFFs now.
You kicked his ass in that debate.
Yeah, we did. We had a ferocious debate.
The fact that you were on Bloomberg with Gene Munster still, I just...
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how it happened either.
You were the writer at Cult of Mac or the creator of Might Tease?
I was both. I was both. My byline was both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you know what the best part was is I didn't even know Gene Munster was going to be on. There were so many things about that whole debacle I didn't know was going to happen. I mean, when I showed up at the studio and they sit you in front of this freaking mechanical tripod with a camera on it, and they have this pair of eyes that are above the camera, and they're like, just look into the eyes, and that way, you'll stay looking at the camera. And I figure out it's Sarah Michelle Gellar's eyes. Are those Sarah Michelle Gellar's eyes? And he's like, you know what? He's like, I think you're right.
Oh, so it wasn't like red Android eyes?
No, I wish it would have been those. Because they were so dreamy, it got lost in thought several times.
I thought you were going to take her home with you.
I did smuggle her eyes home. And then I get on the call, right? And they're like, oh, by the way, Gene Munster's on the line. I'm like, what? Like, this guy who we always, like, write articles about, who everyone always quotes, and here I am. He's like, oh, hello, Erfan. I was like, hey, Gene. How's it going?
Erfan, where's your colleague, Buster Heine?
Buster Heine, I really like your show. It's very
pleasure. Really like Buster Heine.
Buster Heine is my favorite.
He's a hottie.
he's a hottie with a naughty body. And I was like, geez, Gene, you're a real perv.
Hey, Gene.
I'm just glad Gene was checking me out.
You know? Gene, really stop it. Stop it, Gene.
I like how Christopher Walken just keeps interjecting here.
He keeps coming in the room.
Dude, he's obviously hanging out at your house. Hey, before we continue... I want to talk about our sponsor, Hover. Alex, you got pretty excited, so you're obviously familiar with Hover, right?
I had such a bad experience with, a hosting company that will not be named, but that frequently puts his ads with scantily clad women on TV.
Is it Travel Papa?
It rhymes with show Saddy.
That's a great movie, I heard.
But yeah, it's Christopher Walken's in it. But Hover is great, man. I'm so glad they're a sponsor.
They're literally too.
If Apple was a domain provider, they would be Hover.
You know what? That's so funny. I was actually going to say that exact same thing. So Hover is the best place on the internet to buy your domain names. Their customer service is excellent. If you call, you're actually going to talk to a person. And their user interface on their website is beautiful. It's simple. It's easy to use. And I'm moving all of my domains over to Hover. I've been in the process of doing that for about the last 18 months. So I use Hover personally. So I'm really familiar with the way their website works. And they're great. And they include free private domain registration with every purchase. So you don't have to worry about some mouth breeder looking up your information on that website that you just purchased. They're wonderful. Really best super nice support. Team. Best customer support. And I highly, highly, highly recommend if you're buying domain names, you either move all your domains to Hover and they can help you do that. And if you have new domains, head straight to hover.com/cultcast and you'll actually save 10% off your whole order. So you get a little discount, which is nice. But more than a discount, truly, you're going to get the best domain place on the internet. They're really great. I just couldn't recommend them more highly. So if you have any reason to buy domains, check them out. What was that? Who was that?
Apple, this is to you, Apple. Apple, buy Hover. Buy Hover, make it just this juggernaut of awesomeness, and then put Flo Laddie out of business.
Flo Laddie. That's an Go Irish Daddy. Domain. That's an Irish domain host, right? Flo Laddie?
Flo Laddie.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, honestly, you wouldn't think that would be a big deal. Like, you know, on some domain sites, it's so cluttered and they're always trying to upsell you.
It's terrible.
You know, it's Hover like,
is,
there's like 5 pages of crap they try to sell you. Like,
Hover's bare bones, minimal. This is what you get. It's gorgeous.
I think they have like 4 different domain packages that they sell. That's it. Yeah. They're not trying to upsell you on a bunch of crap. They're not trying to give you 10 pages worth of stuff where there's check boxes already checked for you that you're going to buy these other things. And you're like, what? Why did my cost just shoot up $10? You're like, oh, because they just automatically added this stuff to my cart.
Yeah.
None of that stuff. Straightforward, simple. Hover.com/cultcast. Save yourself 10%. Thank you, Hover, for sponsoring the show. We're, as you can tell, really thrilled to have you as a sponsor. So welcome aboard the cultcast. Choo-choo.
All aboard.
That was improvised, in case you couldn't tell.
Dude, that was awesome.
Thank you. You know, I want to have a little discussion with you guys. This is actually something that I've been asked by several of our followers on Twitter, which of whom I love all of you. Thank you for all your great questions. Would you guys like to see Apple go next? They've taken over the cell phone industry. They've taken over computers. You guys are really into the whole space thing.
Dude, it's the next thing, man.
It is the next thing.
The next frontier.
Elon Musk, man. Come on.
Yeah, he's something else.
Anyway, sorry. We interrupted you.
You're diverting me. Yeah, you're taking me off to another direction. And I go to other places too easily. So let's stay on track. So what other industries would you guys like to see Apple enter and dominate like space. Andre the Giant? Okay, Buster likes space. Alex.
TVs in space.
TVs.
Oh, space dude, you just one up to me.
Well, they're obviously going to get into TVs eventually. They're already in TVs. Oh, yeah. Obviously.
Okay.
Obviously.
Into my kitchen.
They can make an Apple fridge.
The toaster fridge.
Let me tell you mine, my big one. Actually, I got two. 1.5. I would love to see Apple enter the car stereo business, which I don't think will ever happen. But let me tell you why. So I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of music, especially while I'm driving. And right now I still have to tether my iPhone to my car stereo with a wire. And I hate Bluetooth.
That's because you don't drive a Lamborghini.
I do. No, I do. I do drive a Lamborghini.
No, you don't.
It's just from, just from 1985. It's like the Magnum PI.
You don't drive the Colorado. You have no clue what you're talking about.
Does your Lamborghini have a wireless streaming?
New Lamborghini Murcielago. You get in and the phone wirelessly syncs. It's a beautiful thing.
Wow.
And then 50 cents in the back, rapping.
How did you know I like 50 cents? The rapper 50 cents.
I just know.
Chris. Are you a fan of 50 cents?
I love it.
As I was saying, I would love to be able to stream AirPlay to my car radio. And I think eventually we're going to get that regardless if Apple enters the stereo market. But don't you guys agree that most of the UI stuff that happens in a car is terrible, especially on car stereos?
Yeah, it is. It is bad.
And I mean, one of the things Apple excels at is putting great UIs in all their products, right? And even on the... is it the iPod Mini or the iPod Nano, the one like the wristwatch one? I forget what that one's called.
It's an iPod Nano.
So even on something that small, you have a good user experience. It'd be cool if you could like shift through apps like horizontally on a little like car stereo deck. You guys feeling me on this, Buster? Well, you know,
I
know you like the sounds that go boom.
I don't know.
Okay, Alex, what do you think?
Well, you know, Irfan, Steve Jobs wanted to make an iCar before he died.
That's true.
So, I mean, you know, according to Mr. Mickey Drexler of, you know, so I would buy an Apple car, you know?
Yeah, you would buy an Apple car, but do you just want the stereo?
They're not going to get into the stereo business.
I know. Circuit City. That's why this is a hypothetical question, guys.
It's no. They would do a car before they did a stereo.
But you know, if they did a car, you know what colors it would be available in?
White
or black.
Black.
No, maybe silver. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. It's possible.
This car is made of pressurized aluminium.
Yeah. I drive this car everywhere. And then my point five, and this is something Steve Jobs was actually passionate about, cameras.
I could cameras that maybe. Might be cool if they did like the Lytro type cameras. That could be really cool.
Oh, dude, Lytro, really?
Dude, yeah. Okay. I'm just saying. Right now, the Lytro cameras, yes, they're really just a toy and pretty gimmicky. But if you expand those, you know, get better sensors for it, you know, make the technology better, which is totally possible, then it'd be pretty awesome.
Okay.
Kind of like your mom.
That's not anything bad to say. My mom is awesome.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying your mom's awesome. She bought an iPad.
Your mama joke.
She did buy an iPad, and we text on each other with each other all the time now. Hi, mom.
Text on each other. Man, I text on my mom all the time.
Everyone, I send you text on you. You don't answer. My mom.
Is your mom like Italian?
No. Does that sound Italian?
It did sound a bit Italian.
Well, then that must be what she sounds like, because I obviously do perfect accents. Yeah, you know, I think kind of along the same lines as the stereo, the UIs on phones or on cameras are generally so poor.
They're terrible.
I mean, there's a lot of great cameras. I mean, my new Canon is an amazing camera. Amazing. But the UI on it isn't great. I mean, the menu system isn't great. So I think that's really kind of where Apple could improve things quite a bit is on the software side.
And then yeah, I would agree with that.
And then you could apply like Instagram filters.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something all professional photographers want to do. Is
preset
apply.
Instagram.
Yeah. Filter. And then so automatically like, upload to your favorite social sites.
As soon as you take the picture, boom, Instagram filter up in the cloud.
And eventually it would know which Instagram filter you liked best, and it would just auto-apply it.
Yeah, I love that. That's what I'm saying.
That sounds great. So that's where we see Apple going in the next, 2 years.
Yeah, I want to throw out wearable technology. Think it's the future. Apple eyeglasses, you know.
Oh, my God.
It's coming.
I don't know how I feel about the glasses
yet. It's coming. You know what? Google glasses, those guys were skydiving, okay? That is awesome.
That's true. But they were pointing
Have you ever been skydiving, Alex?
No.
You've never gone skydiving, Alex?
I will never go skydiving.
I've
never
my
been
life.
Skydiving either, but I think that's my point, is most people have not.
It's terrible.
It's not terrible. It doesn't even
Buster,
feel
you
like
you are hurling your body to your death.
Yeah.
You got a parachute.
Yeah, if it opens.
Two parachutes, I think.
If they both open.
They will. If not, you just keep a knife with you, cut into the pack. Throw it out yourself.
Hey, did you see that video of that guy who had opened his pat or opened his chute, didn't work, got tangled, it opened up his secondary chute, got tangled in his main chute?
No way.
And on the way down, he was like, I'm sorry, apologizing to his family, and then he landed. He had the whole thing on video. He landed in a big thing of blackberry bushes and lived.
No way. Broke every bone in his body probably.
I don't even think
right?
he did. He got up and he was just like perfect. He started fist pump like pumping like on
fist
shore.
Start singing some Neil Diamond like, to celebrate. Yeah.
You think about that next time you're gonna go skydiving.
Well, I feel like if you did skydiving, once you got down to the bottom, you would do your Rocky dance because you would just feel so great.
Actually, that's
you would have
probably
a surfer
true.
Voice Da-da-da. Going down. You'd be like, this is totally righteous.
Bodacious. That's what you'd hear as I jumped out of the plane.
Be like, hang ten.
I'd have a hang loose on both hands. I'd be shaking them back and forth as I exited the plane.
With your tongue sticking
out. With my tongue sticking out. Bodacious. All right, anyway. Let's move on to our final segment of the show, of arguably our best show ever.
Faves and Raves!
Faves and Raves, and Faves and Raves, and Faves.
Shoot, I forgot about that segment.
Oh, dude.
Hold on, let me open up my desk. I'll find something.
Okay, well, let me explain this show, or this segment, to our listeners, for those of you who haven't heard it before. Faves and Raves is our segment where we pitch our favorite piece of hardware or app that we're using this week that we love, and then we take a vote at the end of the segment on which one is best. No one can vote for their own. They have to vote for somebody else's. Alex, since you're back, I'm going to give you the tie-breaking vote. If we get into a tie, you can end it any way you wish. I'm really going to tell you this right off the bat. Mine is really cool, but if you're not a photographer, you're probably not going to think it's that cool, so I'm probably going to lose.
So you're just probably
But I'm just putting that out there, even though it's more awesome than any of you can imagine. Alex, do you want to start? Or do you want me to start?
Yeah, you can start.
Okay, so we all get to review a lot of stuff working for Cultimac, which is great. And this week, or I should say, for the last 6 weeks, really, I've been reviewing this remote flash trigger system for my DSLR called the Photix Odin. And I recently just wrote a review about this on Cultimac. If you search Photix Odin Cultimac on Google, I'm sure you'll find it. And I love this thing. And basically what it does is it allows you to use your flash, like an external flash, off camera very easily. And it works well with all the automatic settings on your camera and also manual settings. And you put this little unit on top of your camera. And then you can control all of your flashes either together or in different groups. Right from this main unit that sits atop your DSLR. And if you're familiar with flash triggers, you've probably heard of Pocket Wizard. They're one of the most popular companies out there that do this kind of thing. But Photix is an up-and-comer. They make a lot of really good camera accessories, and this is one of the best flash triggers I've ever used. It's super, super handy. It lets you do all sorts of creative lighting setups. And if you are a photographer, definitely check out Photix, and their product is called the Odin. That's my pick of the week. Alex?
Buster, you go.
Buster?
Fine. All right, I have a confession, Arifon.
Yeah.
I've gained some weight since the last time we hung out, all right?
Really? You're so active.
I know. I'm just not as svelte as I used to be.
Okay.
But anyway, so Nike sent me the Nike Fuel Band.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I've never even heard of it. Tell me about
it. Oh, okay. So the Nike Fuel Band, it's like this. It looks like, you know, those Lance Armstrong little rubber band things that people wear on their wrist.
Like the Live Strong bracelets?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it looks like a black one of those.
Okay.
Only it's got like a LED display on it. You push a button and it tells you like the time or how many calories you've burned throughout the day.
Uh-huh.
So it also like keeps track of how many steps you've taken and all that Nike Plus junk and all that stuff.
Is this kind of like the Jawbone thing that was released a while ago?
It is, only it's better. I actually had the Jawbone up as well, and that thing is actually pretty terrible. This one's slightly better. It's not fantastic, but it's actually pretty cool. I actually like using it a lot just as a watch. But also when I go hiking, I take it, and you can see like how far I've traveled because it syncs up with your iPhone for distance.
Does it have like a companion app that you use with it, or?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
That doesn't work on Android.
Okay. That's too bad. Sorry you have an Android phone.
Yeah. but yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm trying to, you know, move around a bit more and
good for you.
It's, you know, it's like a cool little tool, like a little toy to have.
Yeah, no, I like that kind of stuff, especially when it has like a pedometer.
Yeah, exactly.
And tells you like how active you're actually being.
Yeah, so okay. That's my this week.
What's it called again?
The Nike Fuel Band.
The Fuel Band. All right, Alex, you ready?
Yes. This is kind of cheap, but I haven't gotten to talk about it, so I wanted to talk about it briefly. But I got one of the new MacBook Pros with Retina display.
You didn't.
Do that.
I did, and I. It was waiting for me when I got back from Jamaica, and I love it so much.
Really? You're just telling us this now? We could have talked about this for 20 minutes.
I know. I know. I just I wanted to just have a soapbox moment. Listen, Irfan, I listened to, I don't remember if it was the last episode or the one before. I listened to you guys on the Cultcast talking about the Retina MacBook Pro, and I heard a lot of whining. I heard a lot of, it's too big. I don't want to buy it. It's going to weigh too much. I like the MacBook
Air. That sounds like Buster.
No, I think that was Joe Brown, though.
Actually, it might have been Joe, yeah.
that's my Joe Brown impersonation.
That was really good. So you have one now, and you love it.
I have one. And you know what? Anybody that says that this thing is too big to carry around in a backpack is a sissy and a wussy and needs to go to the gym.
Yeah. Hey, you hear that, Joe? You hear that, Joe?
Calling you out, Joe. No, but I'm calling you out too, Irfan, because I think you were the biggest, like, it's too big.
No, I didn't say it was too big. I just said that it's light, but it's lighter than it was, but it's not a light computer.
Are you kidding me?
I don't think it's a light computer at all.
Are you kidding me?
Not compared to the MacBook Air.
Have you held one?
I have held one, yeah. I've stroked one. I went in there and I petted it like it was a beautiful kitten.
Guess what? I stroke one every day.
Okay, this is turning into a whole different show.
Okay, right. But so here's the deal. Listen, I'm a little different than most people. I'm not the have to take as little as possible with you on the road. You know, anywhere I go, I take my backpack. It's got my MacBook Pro. It's got my iPad. It's got my notepad. It's got maybe a book I'm reading, and it's got my iPhone and all my stuff in it. So I'm not like this minimal. Have to have this super thin piece of paper notebook with me. But you know what? This thing is super portable for a professional level machine. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. And I think you're foolish to not buy this if you have been wanting a Mac upgrade. I remember you saying that this is the Mac. This was the Mac you were waiting for, and it really is. Great.
It is, but not quite.
What else do you want? I mean, unicorns.
I would love it to have a unicorn horn. I think the big thing about that machine for me is Johnny Ive even said this in the video that they made, is it's kind of a stopgap. I mean, it's the cutting edge technology before that technology can really be utilized as much as
it right now.
Well, do you have Thunderbolt drives that you're using with it?
I don't have a Thunderbolt drive.
No one does.
I mean, I've been doing it. I have a USB 3 one, and it works.
Well, I think that's kind of my point is, I have FireWire drives, right, that I use for backup and everything, and they're great, and I love them. And I would love to have Thunderbolt stuff, but we're really just not seeing a lot of that stuff yet, especially not for, an affordable price. The USB 3 would be amazing. I would love to have that, but you can get that in one of the lesser models. So to give up two FireWire ports –
it really comes down to two things. I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's really simple. It comes down to two things for this MacBook.
Are you going to say the adapters?
No, this is the two things that sells it, is the display and the form factor. Those are the two things that, when I bought this, I'm coming from an 09, dual core machine. So obviously
you using a 15-inch MacBook Pro, Alex?
Yeah, I was using a 15-inch MacBook Pro, so I got this home.
So that's really great if you're coming from that 15-inch MacBook Pro. But if you're going from an 11-inch MacBook Air up to a 15-inch MacBook Pro, it's such a huge difference. It's double in everything, weight and size.
But, I mean, they're not even on the same, level. I can't do, I've tried using an 11-inch Air. My mom has an 11-inch Air. And, I can't work on that thing. That thing's like a...
Oh, Des, the 11-inch Air is for ladies, Buster.
I work on that thing all day, every day.
Obviously, hands? You're someone's mom.
What are you talking about? The keyboard's the same as the Bluetooth keyboard.
I love the resting, the resting room you have for your palms on the 15-inch MacBook Pro is just perfect for me. It's a perfect work machine. The sound is incredible. Everything about it is just awesome.
Hey, I don't doubt that. I'm sure it's an incredible machine. I just think it's a machine ahead of its time. I just don't think you'll be able to utilize as much of the technology. You're paying for more technology than you're probably going to be able to utilize, I think.
Well, the one thing that's frustrating right now is there's not a lot of Retina apps. And so, Twitter for Mac looks like butt.
Well, what about normal websites?
Websites look pretty good.
Look kind of funky.
Safari's been upgraded, and there's a website that's been retinized, specifically you can tell because it's got a little bit of finer detail. But if something's drawing from the computer's text, it's fine. It looks great. Hmm. It's really just specific apps that haven't been updated for Retina, and that's going to take a while. But that's it happened anytime any device went Retina, it was like that. This machine's perfect for me, and you know, I'm going to do some video editing on it.
Ooh,
you know,
Lord.
And, you know, I'm going to, of my, you know, ribboning front yard. And
wow.
You know, got to
edit. He's going to be so jealous.
Yeah. But yeah. No, I really think that we've been spoiled by the Air, and this thing is almost as light as the Air. It really is hardly any of a difference. And if, like, your main reason for not buying this is because it's not as thin and light as the Air.
No, that's definitely not why.
Okay.
I think my main reason is you're paying for a lot of technology you're probably not going to be able to use for 12 months.
Yeah.
And I think the next version is going to be the one that I upgrade to.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true.
So. I mean, I don't know what else I could. I mean, I can use everything except maybe there's, you know, all the Thunderbolt drives are expensive, but I can't think of anything else that, you know, this machine has an HDMI port, you know.
That is cool.
Also, it's
very cool.
It's the powering of that display. When I used the times that I've used that, like the Apple Store, it was the frame rate seemed like it would drop sometimes.
Well, Anontech, yeah. So you mentioned that in one of their reports.
Are you talking about ghosting?
No, what? He's talking about low frame rates just in rendering different frames.
Just because it's, you know, the processor is like working overtime just to display everything on that Retina display.
And Anontech actually did some tests and showed that. I mean, they were like in just a normal rendering of like scrolling windows up and down. They are pushing that technology in that computer more than it was ever designed to be pushed. And it's working, but in some cases, your frame rates will drop. So you'll get 15 frame rates instead of, you know, the normal 30. So you'll see some jumpiness when you're scrolling or moving windows around or playing games. Have you noticed anything like that, Alex?
No, I haven't.
You have not? Okay. Well, there you go.
Alex doesn't play, like, cool games, though.
Listen, I play Minesweeper all day.
Solitaire renders fine. Solitaire. I move one card at a time, and it moves smoothly.
No, but video, I mean, it all looks incredible, and just, you know, it makes reading, you know, like you look at a non-Retina app, like I put Twitterific, which has been updated for Retina, and then Twitter for Mac next to each other.
And it looks like poop.
It looks like total poop. And then I have my old 15-inch Pro that I set next to this one, and it's like going from the 3GS to the 4. I mean, really, once you go.
Wow, that's a big jump. Back. Wow, you think it's that huge. Dramatic?
Oh, it's very dramatic.
Wow. All right. All right.
Blood I mean, Buster. It's a beautiful machine. It's an awesome machine. I just feel like the next iteration is going to be when it's like ready for prime time.
The next one's always going to be better, but I get what
you're saying. Well, no, I'm not saying it's going to be just better. It's going to be
ready.
Everything's going to be ready for prime time for it to be at a more consumer level for everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to wrap this up, but Alex, what model did you get? Just so we know.
I got the 15-inch, well, obviously 15-inch, and then I got 500-gig SSD and then 8 gig.
Oh! You got the 500-gig SSD?
Which really wasn't that bad. The pricing, it was, you know what I should have done?
$2,800
No,
I was like, because that's the one I needed, and I was like, $2,800 for a laptop. I was like, I just can't justify it.
I had to do it though, because I cannot get a machine with less than that. I just use it up too fast. And
I know, me too.
So it's worth it with that. And I regret, because after I bought this, iFixit did its teardown and said that this is the least repairable laptop ever made.
Right.
And that makes it really. I wish I would have gotten. My advice is that if you're going to buy one of these things and you're willing to drop the cash, get it maxed out, because you're not going to be able to go in and upgrade, because I'm stuck with 8 gigs of RAM on this machine, you know, for the rest of.
That
you know,
was another one of my problems with it, but that's the way Apple's going. They're turning every computer into an appliance. So, all right, let's vote, guys. We got to vote on these bad boys. So, Buster, why don't you go first? Which one was your fave?
I don't even remember what yours was, but I'm voting for it.
Buster, you're a tool.
Well, I'm voting for yours, Buster.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a sweet guy. And also because I actually really want something like what you have. I heard about the Jawbone one, and I know it's having a lot of problems, so I haven't bought one yet. But maybe that Nike one's for me.
One.
Okay, so I have to tiebreak this?
Well, you got to vote. Yeah.
Here's the deal. I'm not a photographer and I'm not fat, so neither of these.
If you were fat, you'd probably be a photographer too. They kind of go hand in hand.
I'm going to vote for my own and no one wins.
Then you're disqualified.
Because no that's one not allowed.
I'll take the tie-breaking vote now.
Okay, Buster, which one are you taking? Do I win?
I'm going to have to vote for the camera flashes.
Oh, da-na-na.
Monster.
Da-na-na. Thank you. I haven't won in a while.
Well, you know, you always choose really awesome ones that nobody else comprehends.
they're always very esoteric, right? I'm like, there's only three people in my city that know how to use this device. Let me explain it to you. And then no one wants to vote for it. Although, when Joe was on, his bed-chilling thing was awesome.
Dude, I was so jealous of
but
that.
But I'm like talking about a freaking... I don't even remember what I was talking about in that segment. But I'm like, here's an app. And Joe's like, here's an $800 bed cooler. How do I... Yeah. You can't compete with that.
You can't. Can't,
ridiculous.
Man.
Well, anyway, that's it, guys. We were way over time, but this is a great show. So I don't even care. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. Hey, happy belated 4th of July.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys, you know, swim in your birthday suits for America's birthday? Because I did.
You know I did.
It was America's birthday.
I showed everyone how patriotic I was.
Oh, dude.
In my birthday suit.
I just walked around all day quoting Independence Day. Like fireworks would go off and I'd be like, welcome to Earth.
Somebody says something dumb and you're like, that's not entirely accurate.
Welcome to Earth.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. I want to thank Hover for sponsoring the show. Go to hover.com/cultcast. Save yourself 10% on your next domain. The Cultcast is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. But if you want to hear some more from us throughout the week, check us out on Twitter. Buster is BST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. E stands for Excelsior. And I'm Aaron Vaughn, E-R-F-O-N. And by the way, Heath is H-E-A-T-H, just in case that confuses you. In case anyone spends an H-E-E-T-H, which would be strange. And, of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos, follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. That's just Cult of Mac. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank Christopher Walken for being on the show. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
And we will catch
you
guys
next week.
Next time.
Oh. Bazinga.
I really loved you in that cowbell sketch on SNL.
More cowbell. I've got a fever.
For more Cultcast?
And the only prescription is more Cultcast. 'Fon, how's it going?
I'm great. I'm so honored that you're such a huge fan of the show.
Did you like Pulp Fiction?
Oh, it was a great movie. Were you in that movie?
Yeah,
oh,
that's right. Was Chris in that movie?
You were in that movie. You had the watch.
I was in that movie. I had the monologue about your father's watch.
That's right. You had to hide the watch in your tuchus.
He died of dysentery.
That's right. That was a very honorable thing that you did.
This is your father's watch. He died of dysentery.